Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Sanhedrin Daf Samach Aleph, Sanhedrin 61. Today's Daf Yomi deals with the following case. It says the Gemara, Rav Hamnuna Irkasue Torah. Rav Hamnuna lost some of his oxen, and he was going out to search for them. And while he was searching for them, Pagabei Rabba. Rabba came in contact with Rav Hamnuna, and Rabba said to Rav Hamnuna, Rami le masnisen adadi. I'm going to give you a question that there are two Mishnayos that are contradicting each other. First, we have our most recent Mishnah, which on 60b, stated with respect to one who is liable for the punishment of stoning, ha'oved avodas kochavim, one who worships idolatry is liable for stoning. And this implies that only one who actually worships idolatry is liable for stoning. However, one who just says in front of witnesses, I'm going to go and worship idolatry, would not be liable. That is the implication of our Mishnah on 60b. However, there's another Mishnah, which we're going to come to on 67a, where it states, V'hanan tanan ha'omer e'evod. This relates to somebody who incites somebody to worship idolatry. And in that case, if somebody says, I'm going to go and worship idolatry, then he is liable. Even if he just says, I'm going to go and worship. And also if he says, elech ve'evod, meaning he still needs to even walk there. He just says, I'm going to go and walk there. He's still liable. And even if he says to others, nelech ve'navod, let us go and let us walk there, he's still going to be liable in all these cases. So in one case, in our Mishnah on 60b, it states that he's only liable if he actually worships idolatry, whereas in the Mishnah on 67a, it states that he's liable if he just says, let us go and worship, or I'm going to go and worship. And so the Gemara wants to understand why is there a contradiction between these two Mishnayos. And so ultimately the conclusion that's offered by the Gemara is that there's a distinction between the two Mishnayos, that in our case over here where he's only liable if he actually worships, we're talking about a situation where he was speaking to multiple people, to the rabbim, to the people as a whole, to a plural, as opposed to where he's liable, that is where he's speaking to an individual. And the reason is that if you're speaking to an individual, the assumption is he's not likely to change his mind. Why would he change his mind? He'll follow the person who says, I'm going to go and worship idolatry with you. However, if he's speaking to a multiple group of people, a plurality of people, then we say that there's a likelihood that some of them will change their mind and they're not going to follow after him. Since some will change their mind, then others will change their mind. And therefore, we don't obligate him that which he states, Nelech v'navod, let us go and worship this idolatry. That is the distinction between the two Mishnayot. Why was it so important that we have to begin this whole discussion by saying that Rav Hamnuna lost his oxen? Who cares? Why is that even relevant to the situation? We're talking about a contradiction between two Mishnayot. Why don't we just say, Rabba said to Rav Hamnuna, what about the contradiction between the two Mishnayot? So the Yad Rama, writing in Provence, it suggests that the Gemara wants to tell us that Rav Hamnuna loved Torah so much that even though he has lost his oxen and he's so engaged in the loss that he's coming under as a result of his business, and when somebody has lost money, they can become so agitated and so focused on trying to reclaim their money that they're not going to focus on the fact that there's Torah in front of them. But Rav Hamnuna stopped everything that he was doing. He stopped looking for his oxen to try and find an answer to Rava's question. And so that's how the Yad Rama explains it. And this is similar to what Tosfos says in Krisos Daf Tesvav Amid Aleph, that it tells us the praise of the sages, that even though the sages are deeply engaged in studying Torah, that all the time that they're amongst themselves, even when they're running from an enemy, we find that the sages will engage in Torah study. And there's rumors about, there's a tradition that one of the greatest Tosfos, one of the greatest questions from a Tosfos and answer, Shaka Vitalia from a Tosfos itself, is from Meruba, and the rumor about it is that it was written while they were under great distress, and that they were about to be executed the next day because of their Judaism. So we see from here that somebody who loves Torah so much will be able to push everything aside in order to focus on their Torah study, whether it be business loss, whether it be a hardship, chas v'shalom, rachmano etzlan, in our lives. Another question that comes up from our sugya is from the Shoot Beis Yaakov. He discusses about a situation where there were two people, Reuven and Shimon, who were fighting with a third person, call him Levi, and as a result of this fight, Reuven and Shimon said to Levi, you know what, we're going to hand you over to the king. They're going to do Moser, and they're going to turn over the Jew to the evil kingdom at that time. And so then they started to walk there, but in the middle they changed their mind and they came back. So the question that was brought to the Beis Yaakov is, are these people kosher witnesses? Because they said we're going to do something, Mesira, which normally is assumed to be a great sin, but they didn't actually do it. So it's just saying it assumed to be a great sin. So on the one hand, the Beis Yaakov begins by saying that we see from our sugya that if you're going to say something, even though you don't follow through and actually do it, that's still enough to hold somebody liable. However, he suggests that maybe there's a distinction between the two cases, between the case of our sugya and the case that came before him, because in this case there were two people who were going to bring the case, and since there were two people who had threatened to do this, then it's possible that one of them would return, and so therefore we wouldn't hold them responsible. But we certainly see from here that just the fact that sometimes you just say something on your own, and even though you don't actually do it, just saying that you're going to do something is itself a sin worthy of disqualifying you from being a kosher witness.